We begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos, daf Tzadi Ches. We begin two lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues with a similar case as our Mishnah on daf Tzadi Vav, which was going from one domain to another domain, passing through a different domain on the way. So our Gemara brings a Braisa that has a similar type of a case. So the Gemara begins, Tan Rabban, we learn the Braisa. Hazert Mishus Harabim L'Shus Harabim, Rishus Yochid Be'emtza. That a person is standing in the public domain, and he throws to another public domain, which passes through in its journey through Rosh Hashanah, through a private domain in the middle. So it depends on how much it traveled. Dalad Amas Chayv, if it traveled through the Rosh Hashanah for Amas, then one is going to be liable, even if it was through a combination of, let's say, two Amas in this Rosh Hashanah, you were two Amas away from the boundary, from the border of the Rosh Hashanah, you threw it, traveled through the Rosh Hashanah, however long that is, and then it landed two Amas into the next Rosh Hashanah, so it traveled two Amos on this one, two Amos on that one, but four Amos together, then one is going to be liable for the Isser of Havara, of transporting something four Amos in Rosh Hashanah. We continue on to the top of Tzadiches and Medav. Pachus Ma'arba Amos Pater, but if it travel less than four Amos, the individual is going to be Pater, and not only is not going to be liable for Havara, for transporting four Amos, because it didn't travel that much, but even for Hitzah, for taking something out from Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah, he's not going to be liable for, because this Tana Kama doesn't hold of the concept of Kutu Kamisha Hanchev, that the fact that it was contained in the airspace of the Rosh Hashanah as if it landed there. Rather, since it only passed through and it didn't land there, you're not going to be chayiv for Haitzah, taking from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And also, you're not going to be chayiv for Havar because it didn't travel a distance of four Amas. To which the Gemara asks, Mai Kamashmon, what are we learning? What's the chiddush of this price? So there's two things. Ho Kamashmalon, as we said, Rishuyis Mitztarfis. The idea is when you have two domains which are the same type of domain that they join together, that we say that this Rosh Hashanah together with this Rosh Hashanah will combine for the share of the four Amas. And that's to exclude of the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that he says on Nafpeyim and Alf and Perikam Etziyayin, that even if something was done in one lapse of awareness, that one did a Hitzah, if he did it to the same domain, let's say from one Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah, so then if it was in one lapse of awareness, it's combined, and therefore, since he did a half and a half, it makes it into one. But Rabbi Yossi said if it was done to two separate Rishuyas, if you're in Rosh Hashanah and you take to this Rosh Hashanah, and then you take the other half to the other Rosh Hashanah, they will not combine to make the person Chayim. That's the Chiddush that was saying that these two Rosh Hashanahs, although there's only two Amas that had traveled in this one and two in this one, they will combine to make it into one Isser of Havar, and then you're going to be chayv because you travel four Amos together with them. And another chiddush the Gemara tells us that we're learning from this price, that we do not say that if something is contained in the airspace as if it landed, and therefore although it passed through Rosh Hashanah, we don't view it as if it was taken from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, because ultimately it only landed in another domain that was the same as where it started in Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara continues with this halacha of transporting something four Amis in Rosh Hashanah in the public domain. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Hamavrid Dalet Amis Rosh Hashanah Mekura Patur. Now, although we know that if someone transports something four Amis in Rosh Hashanah, he's liable for one of the toilodis, the derivatives of the chiv of Eitzah, of transporting on Shabbos. However, if it's a roofed Rosh Hashanah, although it's a public domain, this is where the masses travel, but if it's covered, then the individual is going to be patur. And the reason is, as we learned out for all Hilchos Shabbos, that it's learned up for how it was done in the Mishkan. As Haitzah is learned out from the Levim, how they transported different things. Now, regarding the Haitzah, Lefisha Inu Dem L'Digli Midbar, it's not similar in this sense to the encampment in the Midbar, because there, everything was out in the open, there was nothing that was covered. And therefore, everything that they transported was from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah that was open, and therefore, if this one's covered, it's not going to be similar down to the T, and therefore, that's not going to be a chiv of Eitzah from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Tushi Gemara asks a series of questions from the Agolis, from the wagons that the Levim had, which seems to counterindicate, and it sounds like that there was a Rosh Hashanah that they had that was covered. And therefore, we should learn out that a chiv itself from Rosh Hashanah to even the Rosh Hashanah that's covered, or even carrying four Amos in Rosh Hashanah, should be a chiv of itself. As the Gemara asks, Ini, is that so, that in the Midbar they didn't have any Rosh Hashanah that was covered? V'ha Agolis. But we have the wagons that they used to load and unload the Mishkan. The Mekuras Avin, that they were roofed over. And that is, they had the wagons, the Levim, that they used to carry the Kerushim. These were the different planks that were used to build the walls of the Chatzar and of the Mishkan. And they would put the width of the planks to the length of the wagon, and the length of the planks to the width of the wagon. on top of the walls of the wagon. And now the Gemara thinks that it took up the whole length of the wagon, that they would organize the planks according to the whole length. You line up the width, that fills up the whole length. And therefore the question is that they are covered, right? Because it covers the whole wagon. And although that it comes out on either side, as we're going to see, the area underneath was a Rishas Ram, but it was being covered. And still they had a halacha of Rishas Ram, as the Gemara proves that. V'amirav Mishum Mechia, Agolis, regarding the wagons that were there in the times of the Mishkan and the Midbar, the halacha was that tachtein, under the wagon, uveinein, and between the wagons. That is, the way they used to travel the wagons were four wagons, two in the front and two in the back. So between each wagon on the side, that's what's called Beinehin. And although that the krushim, the tops of the krushim of the planks would go out on either side of the wagon wasn't wide enough to carry the length of the krushim. It would stick out on either side, 2.5 amas in either direction. And the way, if you would picture it, would be if you have the two wagons side by side, you have 2.5 amas of the plank sticking out on this side, 2.5 amas sticking out on that side. Then you would have 2.5 amas sticking out from the other wagon, which would meet the other 2.5 sticking out, and then 2.5 sticking out on the other side. So you basically have each wagon being 5 amas and 5 in between them, and then 2.5 on either side of them, because the planks would be sticking out from one wagon to the other and it would be touching. So you have the 5 amas that was between each wagon, as the Gemara is going to explain this in more detail later, and you have the width of the wagon, 5 amas, and the planks itself were 10 amas long, and therefore if you put the length of the plank on the width of the wagon, as we explained, that it's going to be 2.5 amas sticking out on either side, because the wagon's only 5, so you have to have 2.5 stick out either side. So what happens is between them, that area of Rishus HaRabim, because that's where when they were traveling, that was Nishas Rabim, that area between them of 5 amas, 2.5 from either one, their planks are sticking out, are covered Rishas Rabim. Vitzideyan, and similarly the sides of the wagon, which is the area between the wagon and the wheel and the thickness of the wheel itself, the halacha that we said was Rishas Rabim, the Gemara says, that it had a halachic status of Rishas Rabim. And that's in spite of the fact that we just proved that all these cases were all covered. The wagon underneath it obviously is covered because the wagon has a bottom. And between them, we said, is obviously that's also covered because the planks would be sticking out and the planks would be meeting right here from each one. And that was covering the area between them, that 5 amas, 2.5 amas from each one. And the sides also had the wheels that were and the walls which were covering the area underneath it. So the question is, how can you tell me that a Rishus Rab Makur is going to be potter, because we don't find this, that's exactly how they had done for the building of the Mishkan, and that's how we learn the halachas of Shabbos, but it's not true. We find areas that we say that they had a status of Rishus Rab in spite of the fact that they were covered. So the Gemara says, Ki kama Rav, when did Rav say this, that underneath these areas, and specifically underneath the wagon, will have a halachic status of Rishus Rab by the wagons? That was Bidura Asa. That was in reference to the gaps. That is, there were gaps between the rows which were organized of the kerushim, of the planks that were organized on the length of the wagon. There was a space between each groupings, as the Gemara is going to explain, that it wasn't covered over there. There was, for example, if let's say you had a certain amount and you have spaces between them. When we said that underneath them, it's going to have a status of Rishus Rabim. When did Rav say that? That was between the spaces of, you don't have everything lined up exactly in the length. You have the width of the planks taking up the 5 amas length of the thing. As the Gemara is going to go into greater detail, but the point is, we said the space between them, that wasn't covered. That's where we said has halachic status of Rishus Rabim. Obviously, underneath the planks, which is covered, that would not have. But the Gemara asks on this, Mechti, let's understand this. Urkada agola kamahavya. How long was the wagon? What was the length of it? Chamish amet. It was 5 amas long, meaning from the front to back. Pussy the carriage kamahavya. Now, how much was the width of the planks? We said that we lined up the length of the planks would go on the width of the wagon, which means that its width was what was taking up the length of the wagon. So, how much was the width of the planks? Am sapalgit. It was 1.5 wide. Kamamaisiv. How much place can there be? In other words, how many planks can you line up to take up the length of the wagon, which would be from the width, adding up all the widths, how much can you take up in the 5 amas length of 1.5 each pile of planks of their width? So the answer is Tlasa. You can't have more than 3 areas of 1.5 of the planks to take up the length of the wagon, because if you put together 1.5, if each one is 1.5 thick, and you multiply that by 3, so you end up by 4.5. So now you have just 0.5 of an amma left, right? And you obviously can't put another plank in that space because each one was a 9.5 thick. So you have three planks. Their width already took up 4.5, and it's only 5 amas long. So you're fitting in 3. So now the Gemara more develops its question. Partially palgad amsis. Now what are you left with? You're left with a 0.5 amas, as we just described, that because the width of 3 of the planks is going to take up 4.5 amas. So out of the 5, you're left with a 0.5 amas. Kishadili mar beni beni. Now when you fill up that 0.5 amas between the groups of the planks, that is, if you're going to split up that 0.5 amas between three groups of planks, it's going to end up being 0.25 amas between each grouping, which is a 0.5 tefach. Now, that is the Gemara asks, that's called lavadami. That's as the halachic status we know of something called lavad, which is that we see an extension of what is that area, that it's continued because the gap is only less than 3 tefachim. We see this connected. So therefore, these planks which are covering the whole length of the wagon, 4.5 amas, there's a 0.5 amas left between three groupings. You split the half between the two different holes that there are between the three groups. Now that each one is going to be 0.25 amas. 0.25 amas is going to be a 0.5 tefach, because an amas is 6 tefachim. So now if you have a 0.5 tefach, so that's not a gap that's large enough to be considered a gap, because we view it in halachic status as if it's continuing the whole roof of these planks covering the wagon. Now therefore the area underneath is totally covered. So again, how do you have to an explanation of saying that underneath the wagon is going to be Rishus HaRabim if we see the whole thing as covered? Because we wanted to say that it's the area in between that's going to have the area of Rishus HaRabim. It's not true, because halacha, we view it as love it as if it's totally closed. So the Gemara says, although the calculation we just made makes sense to ask and to show that the gaps were less than the shear of 3 tefachim, which would make it into love it, the Gemara says, but it's you're understanding it incorrectly. Do you think that when we lined up the length of the wagon, that with the width of each krashim, that would be going on the wide side of the krashim? That is, we know that the length of them were 10 amas, and the width was 1.5 amas, but that's on one side of the width. Then the other side, achudan munachluhu, really was put on the narrow side. And because it was put on the narrow side, that took up less space. And therefore, since it took up less space, there was an amma in between. And therefore, that was 6 tefachim, that would be taking up more than the shear of lavad. And therefore, we didn't see it as totally closed up. But the Gemara asks on this. Soif soif, sumcha de kerish kamahaba. How much was the thickness of the kerish? In other words, the Gemara is trying to elaborate and understand what we're trying to say. This achudan, this narrow part of the krashim, he's saying it wasn't 1.5 amas, and therefore it wasn't total 4.5 amas, which was 0.5 amas, and to split each one would be 0.25 amas, which would make it 1.5 tefach between each one, which is less than the shear of lavad, and then we would see it close. You're not saying that. It wasn't on the wide part. It was on the narrow part of the thickness of the krashim. So how much was that? So the Gemara says, amsa. It wasn't 1.5 amas, it was 1 amas. So now, if you're saying that each width is taking up 1 amas, not 1.5 amas as we originally had said, because it's not on the wide part, it's on the thin part. So kama have a maisav. So now how many piles can you make, can you organize on the length of the wagon? That's going to be arba, it's going to be 4. Because in other words, obviously you have to say, whatever you could organize on the length of the wagon, that's how much you're going to organize. And you're not going to pile up one on top of the other more than you have to. And that is because there were 12 krashim, 12 planks for every single wagon. Because there were 48 planks, and amongst the 4 wagons, each one had 12. And the cheshbon goes, why were there 48 krashim? Because there were 20 krashim, 20 planks for the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash. And there were 20 for the south, 6 for the west, and 2 for the corners over there, which would be from the corner of the west for the north and the south. But the east didn't have any krashim. Now, since the thickness is 1.5 amas, and it's the way it's sitting is on the narrow part, which is 1 amas, if you're going to pile up one on top of the other, they could fall. And therefore, as many as you could put, you're going to put on the bottom, not pile up more on top of them, because it's going to be too high, it's going to topple over. So you'd rather fill up on the bottom and make less piles. So how many piles can you make if it's going to be 1 amas on its narrow part, which is taking up the length of the wagon? You're going to put 4 piles because you can't fit in 5. Because although it's 5 amas long and each one is 5, so lichar you think you could have 5, because you wouldn't be able to push it in and stick it in and fit in exactly 5 in a 5 amas area. And also because there's a technical reason why you couldn't fit in 5, because there's the rings which are sticking out of the krashim, which would take up some space. So therefore you wouldn't be able to get 5 in a 5 amas area, although each one is 1 amas. So therefore, how much can you get? You can get 4. That's how many you would be able to get, and then you'll pile up on top of those 4. So Poshula Amsa, so what are you left with? You're left with an Amma, but that there's extra space here from the four that are here. So Kishodi Lamar, Baini Baini, Kalavadami. So here also you're still back to the square one. Because when you're going to disperse this one Amma of space that you have amongst these four Kurashim, taking up the length of the wagon, if you split it up between all the four, so you have three spaces between the four of them, and that's going to be like Lavid, because only thing you're going to have is two Tvachim between each one, because an Amma is six Tvachim, divided by three of the three spaces between the four Kurashim that you have taking up the length of the wagon, that's going to be two Tvachim, and two Tvachim is within the halachic realm of Lavid, and therefore you do see it close. And therefore, we're back to the question, that it seems like that they were Makura, that they were closed up. And since it was Makura, how could we say it had a halachic status of Rosh Hashanah? If we're saying that Rosh Hashanah, that's Makura, does not have the halach of a Hilcha Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, in truth, that we could resolve this question according to the one that says, and the Gemara will elaborate on this machlekes on Amud Beis, that there is a machlekes regarding the crush of the planks about their length. That we know they started off on the bottom in Amma thickness. The question is, did they taper towards a thinness on the top, or did they continue uniform from bottom to top, as most of the pictures depict that it was just straight up, 10 tefachim, 10 Ammas high, an Amma and a half thick, all the way up to the top. But there is a mandama that says that although on the bottom they were an Amma thick, but milmalo kolin v'holchin ad ka'etzpa. But towards the top it tapered, and it ended like the thickness of a finger, which was basically very thin, that it ended off as if it had no thickness. So according to that mandama, shaper, it makes a lot of sense, because according to that mandama, you're going to be able to find this space between the different krashma much larger, because although the bottom we say that it's going to be less than two tvachim, but on towards the top it opens up because they narrow, and there you have a large area, and therefore under there is where we said that it had a halachic status of a shus rabbim, because that wasn't covered. However, but according to the one, as the Gemara is going to say this machlekes later, that said that there was no difference, it took up the entire Amma thickness from the bottom to the top. So then you have the question, what are you going to be able to say? Either way, you have this question about that it's totally closed over, because with Lavid, it's going to be closed because you don't have three tvachim or more between the different groupings of the krashim. And therefore, how can you say that it has halachic status of Rosh Hashanah if we are saying that a Rosh Hashanah that's covered does not have a halachic status of Rosh Hashanah? So Amar of Kahana, says, and he changes our understanding of how it was put together. We originally thought that there's going to be spaces between each pile of krashim, and therefore we have it, it's going to be, once you disperse, it's going to be just two tvachim between each other. Kahana says no. He says ba'atbi. Says that it was like a paperclip, and that is Rashi's preferred explanation on Amud Beis. Says that the understanding of this pshat in the Gemara is like just like paperclips, which if you take like a stick and you split one end of it, and you use that to bite into the so to speak the page of the book that keeps it there. So he says that's what the word atbi means, like a paperclip. And he says what Rav Kahana was trying to say was is that they didn't put a space between each pile of krashim like we'd originally assumed. Because if the piles are three krashim high, and each one is an amma and a half thickness towards the height, because we're saying that towards the bottom, they would use the amma side. So therefore, it can be very high, and it could topple over. We're afraid of that. So we didn't want to have spaces, because there has nothing to support itself on, if you're saying that there's spaces. Since rather what we did is that we made two piles of 3x3, one next to each other, like the paperclip, which is that although they're disconnected, but they're near each other, which would make it biting as if they're connected, as if they're touching. And that is, this each one would support the other pile, and that's how they did at one end of the wagon, and each one would support each other. So therefore, there you have two Amas that they're taking up over there. And then they did the same thing with the other end of the wagon. And therefore, there would be an Amma in between the two piles of two. That is, we're not splitting it up and having between each pile two tefachim. Rather, that one Amma, because we're saying that each one is an Amma thick. So you have four piles, and then you have an extra Amma, because the wagon is five Ammas long. You have an Amma between the two piles. That Amma is six tefachim. Six tefachim is larger than the Shear of Love. And underneath that area was where it had a halachic status of Rosh Hashanah, because that wasn't covered. That's how Rashi explains Ba'atbi. But still the Gemara asks as follows. I understand you resolved this aspect of the question. At Biheicha Monachlu, where was this paperclip status of the Krashim? That was agabah da'agala. That was on top of the wagon. So you're resolving that, okay, the krashim had space between them. Therefore, you're saying that that's how underneath the wagon, it was not going to be covered. But the question is, agala gufa makurav, the actual wagon itself was covered. And that is, I understand that you're saying on the sides of the wagons and between them was a Rosh Hasharab. Because as we're saying, there's space between the planks. And therefore, on both wagons, you're going to have the two in the front and two in the back. And there's space in between them and between the wagons too. However, the question is, underneath the wagon itself, how can you say that was a Rosh Hasharab? The wagon itself has a floor. As the Gemara assumes right now that it's like every wagon that we have to carry things on like sand and earth for building. And therefore, it has a floor. Now, that floor is for sure covered. And therefore, underneath that area is a covered Rosh Hasharab. And how can we say it has a halachic status of Rosh Hasharab? We continue on to Amud Beis where the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel be Seidus. Your understanding of the wagon is incorrect. We weren't talking about that it had a floor. Rather, the floor was made out of pegs. And since it was just made out of pegs, because it was large planks, and planks don't need like things which are fine that can fall through the cracks, it just had planks, and therefore, there was a lot of room in between the wagon itself on the floor. Because we just had to take wood, and therefore, since they had room between the planks, and the wagon itself had no bottom, it just had pegs to hold up the planks, therefore, we can understand how, although we're saying that Rosh Hasharab Mukura, that's covered, is not Rosh Hasharab, that underneath the wagon did have the halachic status of Rosh Hasharab, because there was space that was open. So now the Gemara continues and references the machlekes that we mentioned, the Amen Aleph, regarding the thickness of the krashim. Were they uniform from bottom to top, or did they taper off on the top? Tana ben Lenna Bryce, krashim regarding the Mishkan boards, milmatan oivyan amma, from the bottom their thickness was an amma, umilmalan kolan vaholchen adke etzba, but towards the top it tapered and ended off in the thickness of an etzba of a finger breadth. Shenem, like it says, a pasuk in Shemais, yiyusam al reisha, that they should be at the end, they should be complete on the top. And that is the pasuk in Shemais in Perech Avav, pasuk Abdal says, vayiyusoyam in milmata, they should be flush on the bottom. But together they should end on the top, el tabas eches, to the one ring. And therefore, he says, since it says the word samim, ulahalnu aimran, there's a pasuk in Yehoshua, which is when Yehoshua split the waters of the Yarden, it says tamu nichrusu, that they ended and they were cut off. And therefore, we learn, just like tamu, that it says over there by Yeshua, that it was a lashon of kaliyah, of ending, that it was ended. Also, the tam over here is a lashon of kaliyah, of ending. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it ended. The thickness wasn't there anymore. That means you sam l'resha, it should end. And that there was only just the thickness of a finger breadth, and it ended. It didn't have the thickness anymore. Rabbi Nechemiah Yomir says no. K'shem shemel matan ovin amma, kach memal novin amma, just like at the bottom had a thickness of an amma, so too on the top had a thickness of an amma, as most of our diagrams draw that. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, he proves it because it says yachtav, as we just quoted, together, which means shavos, that they should be uniform. That should be together, they should, just like on the bottom, that's how they are, so to on the top. But then the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Yehuda had a good proof, v'ksiv tam, but it says the word tam, that, and as we showed from the pasuk in Yeshua, means that they should end. So he says, no, the word tamim there is from a lashon of tamimis, of completeness. Hahu delesu shleimin v'leleisu denisa. That is to teach you that the planks that should be brought should be complete, whole ones, and not that it should be fragments. You shouldn't take two different pieces and put them together to make one plank. Rather, it should be a complete plank. That was why it says that it should be samim. V'idoch namik sevyachtim. And then they ask on the other mandama, but it says together, which sounds like, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that it tapered off if it says it should be uniform from bottom to top? So it says, Hahu delayla shal chafinu mehadadi. That didn't mean that they should be together on the top. Doesn't mean together from bottom to top. Rather, it means that they shouldn't be out of order on the top. That means you shouldn't have one going in and one going out. Rather, they should be exactly together, uniform on the top, all the different planks together. That they should be exactly, the thickness of one should be together, uniform with the thickness of the other one on the top. But, however, the thickness on the top was thinner than the bottom. It was like an etzba. It wasn't the same as it was on the bottom. So now the Gemara discusses these opinions. Like Reb Nechemiah, it makes sense where he says that just like the thickness on the bottom was an amma, so too the thickness on the top was an amma. So we understand the following pasuk. So this is what the pasuk says, that for the western end of the Mishkan, tasa shisha krashim, you should make six planks, ushne krashim tasa l'muktzayis, and two planks should be made for the corners. And that is as the Mishkan was made, that you would come in the Mizrach on the east, and you have north and south on the sides, and you have the back would be the west. As we said before, the front had no krashim, it was totally open. So the back had six planks, and you'd make six planks for the corners. Then the understanding is as follows. The asi pusi dahani, because the width of these corner ones goes, mimali le lesumcha dahani, and it fills up the thickness of the other ones. And that is as follows. That when you would put the six planks on the eastern side of the Mishkan, so it comes out that its thickness of six planks is 9 amas, as we said, because each one is an am and a half thick. An am and a half times six is going to be 9 amas. Now the thing is, the Mishkan, the width of the Mishkan was 10 amas on the inside. So you're still missing a half an amah to the north and a half an amah to the south from the six krashim of the west, that it has to be filled up. It can't just be 9 amas, it has to be 10 amas. So therefore, the pasuk tells us we should bring two planks, one for this corner and one for the other corner, and then you put it next to the six planks. Now the thickness of a keresh, as we said, is an am and a half. So it comes out that a half an amah from one corner fills up what's missing from the western wall, and the amah of the thickness of that corner will go with the southern side. And it comes out that this corner is going to be the equal on the outside, that the corners of the krashim will be together, and the same thing goes to the north. And that is, as we said, that there's going to be the north and the south, and the western wall is over here. Now, it's six krashim, that's only 9 amas. Now, the inside of the Mishkan has to be 10 amas. So we have the two corner ones, which are an am and a half. A half of their amah is sticking in on each side, which a half amah on both sides equals an amah will fill up into 10 amahs. Now the other amah that's left over will be with the amah that's on these walls going together. And therefore the corners will be fitting all the dimensions that's necessary. So that the Gemara said makes sense according to Ibn Nechemiah. But then we have the question, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he says that although the bottom was an amah, but towards the top it would taper off and be the thickness of an etzba. So then you have a difficulty, because high aisle behind nothing, this one's going in and that one's going out. And that is, since we have one plank in the north and one in the south, where we say that as all the planks that they taper off towards the top. Now the planks which were put in the corners, we said, they were different. They were an am and a half, although all the ones are an am thickness, they were an am and a half to fill up that extra half of am that was missing on the western wall. So what comes out is that the thickness of the plank that's in the corner is going to be sticking out towards the south above from the thickness of the southern wall, and the same thing going for the northern wall, that is when it's tapering up, it's going to be sticking out another half an amah more than the rest, because it's an extra half an amah that it doesn't have by the other dimension. It's sticking out, they're coming in and they're going in this way, they're all tapering off. The problem is it's going to be sticking out more than what's necessary. If you say that they're the same thickness, so they go up and they're uniform, just like they're on the bottom, but if they're thinning out, now this one's coming from this direction, this one's coming from that direction, it's not going to be uniform on the top. How do you understand that according to Rabbi Yehuda? And that the Gemara says, Dishafiluhu, that is, they taper it, that is the thickness of the two planks that are on the corners of the north and the south by the western wall, it gets shorter on the top from the thickness that it shouldn't stick out, as Keturin, as the Gemara says, like mountains, that's just like mountains that they're slanty on both sides. Here also, that when they're coming up like this, not only do they taper on this side, they taper on that side, because since it was a corner one, so not only was it tapering here, it was tapering this way, and therefore it was uniform both on both sides, even the corner ones, therefore it fit even on the top. So therefore, you can resolve this not only according to Rabbi Nechem, but even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues with the discussion of the krashim of the planks, and then it gets right back into this many different nafkaminas, differences between the opinions of Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Yehuda regarding how the planks look like on the top in relation to the bottom. So the pasuk says, "V'habriach haticha in betecha krashim," that there was a middle bar that went between the planks. That is, as they carried many of the utensils in the Mishkan, they carried with bars. Now, there were bars on the top and the bottom, but the middle bar, that it went through the inside of the planks. So, Tanu, we learned in the Braisa, B'nes Hayayimid, that this bar was standing in a miracle. And that is, because what happened is that the krashim, the way it was put into Adonim, into different sockets. This was in the north and the west, and on the south. And now these bars would go through the three walls. Now no one could do that, to have a bar go with and inside the wall and go and continue and turn to be able to cover this ches, which was from the north and the south and the west. That was a miracle that how it was done, that it was able to go in and turn and was one long bar that continued throughout the whole thing. And that was the miracle of the Bria Chatichan that went through the middle of the crush. So now the Gemara comes back to the machloikis that we were discussing between Yehuda and Nechemya and shows that different sukkim have to be explained differently according to their opinions. It says, V'esa mishkan tasa esirich. The Pasuk says that the Mishkan, this was the covering that was on top, there was the first covering, there were many different coverings on top of the Mishkan. The first covering, which is called the Mishkan, that was made 10 different yiriyas, 10 different curtains. Oricha yiriyah ha'echas shmoyne ve'estrim ba'am. And that the length of each individual curtain was 28 amas long. So the Gemara says as follows. Shadi urkayu lepusi the Mishkan. The way it was done is that the length of these curtains were placed on the thickness, on the width of the Mishkan. Not the length, rather the length was on the width. So kamahavi, how long were these yiriyas? So as the Pasuk says, Esrim v'tamni, they were 28 amas long. So dal esr le'ikra, so you take away 10 for the roof of the Mishkan, because the internal space of the Mishkan was 10 amas. So if you're covering the length on the thickness, on the width of the Mishkan, which is 10 amas wide, so you're taking 28 amas, you take off 10, which is covering the top. So pashluhu tesla ha'igisa, but tesla ha'igisa, so you're left with 9 for this side of Tzafen, of north, and you're left with 9 for the other side of south. So that's, you have 10 plus 9 and 9 is going to be the 28 amas of the areas. So the Gemara will now explain the differences that's going to be in understanding the actual measurements in relation to this machlokes. The Gemara says, according to Yehuda, that he says that towards the top, the thickness would totally diminish toward the thickness of an etzba, of a finger breadth. So that the thickness of the kerashim itself, of the planks, will not diminish any of the space of the areas on the top. And therefore, when you're going to be hanging over the length of the ureus on the width of the Mishkan, you're going to have 9 amas to the north, 9 amas to the south covering the krashim, and then you have the 1 amma of the adonim, of the sockets that are uncovered. And that is because the Rashi goes to a whole description, which is important to understand, that the adonim, the sockets of which the planks would be stuck into, their height is an amma. And they have holes inside of them. And the krashim, the planks themselves, were chiseled away on the bottom in the, that there was a space of a half an amma with a height of an amma. And then you were left with a half an amma on either side. And you had these two hands, so to speak, this protrusion that would be sticking out from the krashim of each one. And that would be put into the adonim. And therefore you'd be missing from the yodos on the outside and then two sides, that it should be able to stick into the adon, and that is when you stick in the two hands of each plank into the two holes of the adonim, that is, you have on each, that you should have the krashim should be touching each other, that you don't want to have space between the adon, should be taking space. So you have this adon that has the two holes. Now you stick in the two fingers, so to speak, of the, because we chiseled away, and you have a half amma here, half amma here, and now it sticks into the two holes. So now it's sticking out on top of it, it's laying on it. So now when you have the adonim touching each other, you'll have the krashim also touching each other, because the fingers that are going in are in a little bit, so they're going in and you have it, so they're totally uniform. So now the Gemara goes on and explains that what's going to, how we understand the ureas according to Rabbi Huda. According to him, megalya amma da'adonim. It's, you have revealed an amma of the adonim, because as we said, that the height of the krashim are 10 ammas. Now the bottom amma of it, as we just described, has these fingers, these yudayim, sticking out from them, which go into the amma height of the adonim. So that's the 10 ammas that's on either side. So now if it tapers off on the top, now the top's not taking up any space. So you have the internal area, which is 10 ammas. Now when it goes 9 on each side, so now you have an amma on the bottom. So what's being revealed? Only the amma of the adonim, of the sockets and the krashim, are totally covered. However, the Gemara says, Reb Nechemya, according to Reb Nechemya, that he says that even on the top there was a thickness of the planks of an amma. So therefore, the thickness of the krashim on the north and the south are taking up an amma on each side of the length of the ureus. And therefore, when it's going to fall down on the sides, it's only going to be 8 ammas on each side. Because although the top is only 10, but it's really going to be 12, because you have an extra amma of the thickness of the walls taking up in the length of the ureus, which is the width of the Mishkan, and therefore you have 8 on each side. And therefore the Gemara says, according to him, Megalya Amma the Krashim, is going to be revealing an Amma of the krushim of the planks itself, besides the adonim. And then you have the amah of the adonim also covered, uncovered. So there we have two amas that are being uncovered from the height of the krushim. There was 10 amas, only 8 is being covered. So you have the amah of the adonim and you have the amah of the krushim. That's a practical difference between their opinions. Another difference, the Gemara says, is the other direction. Shadu pusyayu la'urka de mishkan. Their width of the areas were placed on the length of the mishkan. And that is, the way it was done is that after they combined 5 ureas together, that each one was 4 amas wide. So you put 4 amas wide together with 5 of them together, that's going to be 20 amas. Then there was what's called machber sashenis. Then there was a second group, which was also 5 ureas. You put them together, that's going to be another 20. So you put them together, that's 40 amas together. The thicknesses of these ureas, when you put them together, is going to be a length of 40 amas. So therefore, 30 of them, when you're putting on the length of the Mishkan, is for the what's called the roof of the Mishkan. That's the length of the Mishkan was 30 by 10. So therefore, the width we spoke about, now we're talking about the length, that's going to take up 30 of them. So you have an extra 10 of the thickness of the ureas. So where did that go? So the Gemara explains. Kamahavya, how much was the thickness of all these ureas together? That's as we just described. That's Arbon, that was 40 amas. Dal tlosin le'igra. So you take off 30 for the roof, so to speak, of the Mishkan. As we said, the length was 30 amas. So partially you're left with 10. So the Gemara says, now we're going to show the differences that comes out according to the different opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we just said, that he says the thickness of the krushim in the western wall wasn't going to take off any of the dimensions of the areas. So it comes out that these 10 amas that were hanging behind the western wall of the Mishkan, it covered the entire 10 amas of the length of the Keresh. And even the Adonim, even the sockets, which was on the western wall of the Mishkan, was also covered because the front wasn't taking up. You have this 10 amas, and these 10 amas, which are extra besides the 30 of the roof, is going to cover the entire back of the western wall. As the Gemara says, Mechasi Amen Da'anon, according to him, even the Amma of the Adonim is going to be covered. Although we said on the sides it's going to be revealed in Amma, on the north and the south, but by the west, that wall will be totally covered. According to Reb Nechemiah, the Amma of the Adonim will be revealed. That according to him, on the sides it's revealed 2 Ammas, in the back it's going to be revealed 1 Amma because it takes up an Amma of the actual wall on the top because he holds its uniform, the thickness on the top. So although the top is 30, but you have to add on another Amma for the wall itself, that's 31. Now you take off from 40, 31, you're left with 9, so therefore you have the Amma of the Adonim that is revealed. So now the Gemara explains, that was a discussion of the first covering of the Mishkan, which we called it the Mishkan, that Yiriyas Ha'oil. Then there's something called Yiriyas Ha'izim. That was the coverings of the goat ears, which was placed on top of the first covering. As the Pasuk says, V'sisi Yiriyas Ha'izim La'oil B'gaymer, you should make a covering of goat's ear for the tent. And as we said, as we just explained, these were the upper coverings which were placed on top of the lower Yiriyas. And as we said, the upper covering was called the Oihel, which means it was meant for a roof and a covering. That's what the term oil means. And the bottom coverings were called the Mishkan itself, which was for the beauty. It had tchelis, argaman, telashon. They had all the different colors. That was what you saw when you were inside. That was called the Mishkan. And the one on top of that was called the oil. So the Pasuk says, Oyricha yiriha achas shleishim ba'am v'gayim. That the length of each yiriha by the yiriha oil was 30 amas. Although the bottom one was 28 amas long, here the yirihas of the yiriha se'izim was 30 amas long. So the Gemara goes through and explains the differences that's going to come out according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Shadi urkayu lepusi de Mishkan. So if you put the length, that's how it was, the length of the ureas was to the width of the Mishkan. So kamahav, how much was it? As the Pasuk says, tlasin, it was 30 amas long. So dal eseleg, you take off 10 amas for the width of the Mishkan. That's how much are you left with? Pashaluhu esu lahaigis, the best lahaigis. You left with 10 on either side because it was 30, so 10 for the covering the Mishkan itself. And then it goes off 10 on this side and 10 on that side. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, mechasi amad adonim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even the amba of the sockets will be covered. That is, we know that the first covering had left uncovered the sockets on either side, on the north and the south. Now, with the Yiriyas Ha'izim, it's going to cover even what was left uncovered from the other one. It's going to cover the Amma of the Adonim because it's 10 Amas on either side and the walls, the length, are 10 Amas long. However, the Nechemiah, Megala Abda Adonim. According to Nechemiah, the Amma of the sockets will be left uncovered And the extra of this area, what it has to cover, it's covering the Amma of the Krashim, which the bottom ones didn't cover, according to Ibn Chamin, that he said there were two Ammas uncovered. The Amma of the Adonim and the Amma of the Krashim itself. That was by the first covering. The second covering is two Ammas longer, so that's covering the Amma of the Krashim on either side. But it's still leaving uncovered, according to Ibn Chamin, the Amma of the Adonim. So the Gemara says, Tanya Amachi, similarly we learned in the Braisa just like this, that it says in the Pasuk, Va'amma Mizeh, that there was an amma on either side that was in excess of the Yiriyas Ha'oil, as the pasuk over there in Shemais Perichavav pasuk Yud Gimel says, ba'oirich Yiriyas Ha'oil, in the length of the coverings of the tent, yiasruach al tzide hamishkan mizeh umizeh lachaseis. It says that it should be hanging over, it should be draping over on either side of the wall to cover what was left uncovered from the one underneath that. And that is, as we said, because the Yiriyas Ha'oil were another two Amas more than the Yiriyas HaMishkan. That's what it says in the Pasuk, Yisruach, it should drape over, it should cover what the lower coverings didn't cover. So therefore the Gemara explains as follows. L'chasis Amas Shel Adonim. What is this excess that was not covered by the first Yiriyas, that the second Yiriyas, Yiriyas Ha'izim, the Yiriyas Ha'oil are covering? That is to cover the Amma of the Adonim, of the sockets, the Rebbe Huda, as we explained. That's the opinion of Rebbe Huda, because according to him, the first ones didn't cover that, and now the Yiriyas Ha'izim are covering that. It's coming to cover the Amma of the planks itself. However, the Adonim themselves are uncovered, and that's, as we just explained, that's the difference according to their opinions, because the Amma of the crushing themselves on the top is taking up another Amma on either side. So more on this, so we just discussed the Yiriyas Ha'izim, their length going on the width of the Mishkan. Now the Gemara goes in the other direction. Shali Pusyayu L'Urka de Mishkan. So we would place the thickness of these Yiriyas to the length of the Mishkan. So the question is, how much are they? So that since each one is going to be a certain amount of thickness, and now we're taking up that into the length, that's Mem V'Arba. It's going to be 44 Amas. With, if you add up all their widths together, and we said we join them together and then we make two categories, it's going to be 44 Amas towards the length of the Mishkan. So Dal Tlas and Leger, you take off 30 for the roof. So how much are you left with? Pashaluhu Arbis, so you're left with 14 Amas. So Dal Tarti Lakatha, you take off two for what's called the fold. And that is the thickness of half of one urea was hanging over on the eastern part. There was no krashim over there. That was the opening to come into the Mishkan. There was only like what's called a vila and a screen there. As the Pasuk says, Vasisa Mesach LePesach Oil B'Goyim, you should make a screen there, but there was no krashim there. There was no wall, because that's where you would come in. It wasn't blocked off. But however, there was what was called a fold of two amas, which was half of a yiriya, which the thickness is four amas. Like it says in the Pasuk, V'chafalta es yiriya hashishas el mul p'nei oil, that you should fold over the sixth panel to the face of the oil, which would like almost like covering a little bit in the front. So partial hutarti straight. Now you're left with 12 for taking up the length of the Mishkan. So because we said we had 14, and we took a half of one, which was two amas, to cover on the eastern part. So now how much do you have left going to the western wall? That's 12 amas. So now the Gemara describes how this is going to make a difference according to the opinions of Rabbi Huda and Nechemiah. Bishlam Rabbi Huda, the Gemara says, it's very well understood according to Rabbi Huda that he says that the thickness of the krashim didn't diminish any of the area of the areas, because we said it tapers towards the top. So therefore, Heindachsib, now we can understand that it says in the Pasuk, Chatzi ha'yiriyah ho'i defesh tisrach, that the half of the extra plank, of the extra panel that's covering over, that should drape over the back. And that is because, as we said, that there was, although the bottom one had 40 amas in the width together, the top one, the Yiriyas Ha'izim, had 11 panels instead of 10. And therefore, there was an extra 4 amas. So we said 4 in the front, 2 in the front, which was half. We said the chafalta, the doubling over was in the front 2 amas. And then there was an extra 2 amas in the back. So you understand that that's why it says a lashon of tisrach, of draping over, that would be covering in the back. That is because this extra, more than what was on the bottom one, will be hanging over in the back, over the length of the krashim and the adonim, and it would be dragging on the floor, as we said, because even the bottom ones, the bottom coverings, was all the way to the bottom. And therefore, the top covering, the Yiriyas Ha'izim that has extra two amas, was tisrach. That was draping, it was draping on the ground. Elim Nechemiah, my tisrach. But according to Nechemiah, what is this draping, which sounds like it's draping on the ground? It's only one amma that it's dragging. And that's because we said that the thickness of the krashim is going to diminishing an amma. So therefore, what type of draping is that? If it's only an amma, that doesn't qualify for draping. It's just touching it a little bit, just an amma. If it was two ammas, we could understand why it's calling it draping. Tushik Gemara says it's not so hard to understand because tishrach mechabrisa, when it says that it's draping, it means draping more than its counterpart. That is, this half urea, we said that there was an extra urea, an extra panel that the bottom one didn't have. We said half it went to the front, half went to the back. That extra half is draping over more than its counterpart that was there, an extra amma to cover the adonim, and another amma that was dragging. But although the term of draping would sound like it's two ammas, it is two ammas, but in contrast to the lower urea, but not in contrast to the ground. So the Gemara completes this discussion by giving a metaphorical understanding of what we just described. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Lama Mishkan Deima, what was the Mishkan compared to with this whole draping of the ureas coming in the back? Le'isha Shema Aleches B'shok, to a woman that's walking in the marketplace, V'shipuleh Mahalcha Nachareh, and with her train, which is the area that, for example, most people would recognize it by a kala, that her clothing is dragging on the bottom. So too, this extra half of urea, which was dragging the ground, that was like this so to speak, glamorous woman that's walking in the marketplace. That was the description, as many times the Gemara does, with how it describes the Mishkan and all the different things, describing it like a woman, as if it had this glamour to it, with the train, the shipuleh, dragging in the back.